Well, it's recording.
All right. Well, welcome to our podcast, 22 Cents. I am Nenea.
I am Bria. Hey.
Thanks for joining us. It's our first episode, and we're going to be talking about mental health. We'll be talking about things going on in the Black community, and we'll also be showcasing some Black businesses that we want you guys to support.
Awesome. We're going to give you some, like, adulting tips as well.
Not that we're good at it.
At all.
Not that we're good at it, but...
You know, when you try to plan to do something real fancy okay. And you just, you know, whatever.
All right, so let's get started. So, Bria, who's Black and Poppin'?
Okay. Black and Poppin' this week. Okay, I want to give a super, super shout-out to Representative Maxine Waters.
Okay.
From the great state of California.
Not the great state. Let me look her up.
For being the granny that everybody always wanted.
Say that, girl.
Okay, I don't know if you've seen the memes.
Maxine
Waters. But the face. Okay.
Okay, I've seen her.
Okay.
I've seen her.
You know what she's about. So
I've seen her. Okay.
Let me tell you how this lady is unashamed to call out the evil Cheeto. That's what I've been calling him.
Why he gotta be the evil Cheeto?
Because that's what he is.
Okay, okay.
The evil Cheeto.
All right.
For the BS that he has been spewing into
okay,
our country.
Okay, now, mm-hmm. She is in... Okay.
She's from California.
All right, she's the district, congressional district. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
She's a Democrat.
Okay.
Okay, and she's like... So, when I was looking her up, it said that she's the most senior. So, you know, she is the... I feel like HBIC is like politically incorrect. You represent
okay.
Representative Maxine
okay.
Waters, but you know, she's the one that they're going to listen to. And okay. Like, I don't, have you seen her on CNN lately?
I feel like, you know, I should be up on news a lot more,
uh-huh.
But I've heard this name.
Okay.
I've heard this name and she's doing something in politics and she's Black. So I know she's clearly popping and running shit. So.
She is. And all I right. think it's so funny because she says, I was watching this clip, actually, downstairs in the library.
Mm-hmm.
I was just got stuck at the TV because she came on, and I just kind of stopped when she speaks. But they were saying that she was doing an interview with mm-hmm. the CNN correspondent, and so she used the word impeachment.
So she's using words.
Yeah, she's using big words. So she
okay.
used the words impeachment, and so the CNN correspondent was like, are you calling for him to be impeached? She said, I'm not calling for him to be impeached. He's calling for himself to be impeached. And I said,
Look.
All right, auntie.
Look.
So, yeah. And if you, like, just go, like, pull up her Twitter, go, you know, and just...
I'm going to follow her.
Let me just read a few Maxine tweets. The U.S. is not a subsidiary of the Trump Organization, and children need to know you cannot bully and lie your way into the White House. Who else is talking like that?
You know, who else
in
is,
Congress?
Who else is speaking the truth?
Who
in
else
Congress?
Is
so,
all right? Representative Maxine Waters has zero time for that disaster, Betsy DeVos.
You know she, not, you know she's Black. Not zero time.
She said zero time, and they have to call her a disaster, which she is.
You know, I mean that's
is.
A whole nother.
Have you? I don't know if you saw that thing I posted on my Facebook the other day about I forget his name. He's the representative from Kentucky,
uh-huh.
But he's wanting to disband the Department of Education.
Look,
guys,
I sound real ignorant because I don't know any of this. Clearly, I need to catch up.
I mean, so I don't want you to feel bad whole, because I get all my news
like that, the actual.
Yeah, you know, like the department. Betsy DeVos, the one we just elected.
Oh, he was trying to.
Yeah. So then I was thinking about it and I was like, so I don't know what's worse, having her be the head of the Department of Education or having no Department of Education at all.
How does that.
Like how. No, that, my words were. How is this a thing? Because I just want you to know, like, all graduate level education, aka what we're trying to do,
uh-huh.
is completely funded
by the Department,
by the Department of Education that they want to disband.
So then what's the alternative?
I read something like the loans will be handled through the Department of Treasury, but they were talking about the existing loans.
Okay, not the
ones that we
because nobody else is gonna be enrolling in school.
Girl, and let me tell you, the gag is
not the gag.
They want it done by December 31st, 2018.
I just
want you to know that's next December.
Like, okay,
not this upcoming, but the one after that,
okay.
2 years.
I think about Donald Trump is just a headache. Like, I think about him and I get a headache because I get dizzy. I get nauseous. Like, like, how is this a thing? Like, how did we get here? But
okay.
All right. Well, all right. So Maxine Waters,
she is black and she is popping.
I'm with it. Okay. So black and popping for me. First of all, nobody wants to hear this, but shout out to the New England Patriots. For snatching that win. Because I looked at the halftime score and I was like, I'm going to go to bed. This doesn't look good. But then I'm on Snapchat and they're like, because I'm not going to lie, I only saw highlights. I didn't really watch the game.
Okay.
And then I saw highlights and I was like, wait a damn minute. So Tom Brady just came there to show out. So we won the Super Bowl. And as you guys will learn, I'm from Boston.
I just want to be clear really quickly. When she says we, she is not talking about me.
I'm talking about New England. I'm talking about
Nashville,
Boston.
Nashville, Tennessee.
I know.
And I am most closely associated with the Falcons in the situation of the Super Bowl.
Well.
And I was at work when the Super Bowl was happening. And so I caught the first half because it was real slow because everybody was out getting drunk at the Super Bowl. I work in a hospital. And I said, okay, cool. I'm going to just, you know, and I ended up getting off work. And I was like, I'm not going to go back. You know, I'm not going to go back to watch the Super Bowl. Nothing.
I think people got comfortable because the Falcons were so far ahead.
They did.
Yeah, so people were like,
people were
comfortable. And I was like, oh, I'm going to bed because it looks like we not getting no ring tonight. And then
at 9:45, I'm laying in my bed. I said, oh, let me see what the score was when the Falcons won the Super Bowl
nigga,
for 2017.
No.
I said ESPN.com. It said
Tom Brady on someone's shoulder.
And Mr. Krabs SpongeBob meme.
That's real. That's real. But actually, you know, I'm hearing more and more about Tom Brady and his political preferences, and I did not know this, but my black excellence is actually going to New England's Patriots running back, LeGarrette Blount, hope I'm saying this right, and defensive end, Chris Long.
What's his name? That looked like LeGarrette.
I know. Yeah, I can't pronounce things, but they are not going to go see Donald Trump.
And they shouldn't.
And the reason why I'm giving them black and popping is because they're standing by their word. And I found out that Tom Brady did not go see Obama when we won the Super Bowl. I want to say in 2015. Somebody will correct me. But I'm like, this. Why are they being criticized because they're not going? And when I didn't even know Tom Brady didn't go. That's the part that kind of like, okay, that's annoying. And there's that double standard.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
So many people on Twitter are sending them like, not threats, but you know how white Twitter is. They're saying, oh, like, go back to the cotton picking farm that you came on. And there was silence when Tom Brady didn't go.
So why people get offended about some shit like that?
Look, and I'm just over it, and I'm glad they're not going. I mean, I'm happy we won, but I'm glad they're not going. And I'm giving those two black and popping for this week because stand by your word, brothers.
Let me tell you something, too, about that I heard. It might be an alternative fact, and I'm sure someone's going to have something to say about
it. We don't have to retire that word because that means a lie. We're going to have to, like, leave that word alone.
So I can't even remember where I was having this discussion, but basically it was word on the street is that Tom Brady and company and Trump company, they wanted to have the whole team go to the White House. Like they wanted.
But isn't that what the football teams usually do when they win the Super Bowl? The team usually goes up to the White
House. I don't know.
Okay.
But you know, whatever. They were like, okay, well, this is what we're going to do since we have some people who don't want to go. We're going to take a vote. And if majority rules, we're all going to the Super Bowl. Mind you, this is in the postseason. So, like, I'm not contractually obligated to do anything that you ask for me to do, you know, whatever. And so these guys they brought up a very valid point because they were saying, where was this vote when President Obama asked us to come to the White House, but you declined.
That.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's really interesting to see this dynamic that they have going on. Like, Caucasian people can sometimes, I won't even say Caucasian people, let me say racist people
say that, girl.
Can be so deluded. Like, I don't even understand. Yeah. How is it now that you need a vote?
Yeah.
So, yes, I agree. Black and popping.
And I do want to say, I want to make a distinction. Tom Brady's from California. He is not a Massachusetts resident. I had to look it up. I was like, wait a minute. He ain't. Because we're a blue state. Tom Brady, he just plays for us, but he is from California. So, not, I just want to just put that out there. So,
you not going to claim him?
I'm not claiming him.
No? Okay.
Right. I was happy as hell, though. I'm not going to lie. All right. So, now, I was just scrolling.
Oh, geez.
I was just scrolling because, you know, I had to catch up on Love and Hip Hop. I had a lot of homework to do. So, I was just scrolling. And Trey Songz, you probably don't know this because you don't care. But Trey Songz has a reality show. And it's called Tremaine the Playboy.
Is it on TV?
Oh, they I think they're done recording a couple episodes and it will air. Yeah, it's on TV. It's not a
YouTube.
But
what's that thing called?
A web Periscope? Series? Look, don't. I mean, Trey Songz is not that bad.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, we don't need this, but okay, so it's called Tremaine the Playboy, and I saw, like, the little pilot, and everyone who's anyone on Instagram, the Instagram baddies, that's all the contestants are, and it's hosted by Drea. So, I don't know. Like, yeah.
So, is this to help him find love?
Yeah, it's like Tremaine. I guess that the title doesn't really make a lot of sense if he's trying to find love because it's named Tremaine the Playboy. But I
don't understand.
One girl wins at the end, and so Dre is hosting it. It looks like a hot mess, and I'm forcing my roommate to want to watch it with me because it looks like trash that I want to get right into. So.
You're going to nosedive.
Nosedive right into it because it looks trashy and right up my alley. So.
Yeah, I mean.
So, I don't know. What do you think about that? Not that you care about either one of these people I mentioned, but.
I don't think about the show. I
don't think about
it. It's unnecessary.
Yeah.
It's unnecessary. What are you trying to get out of this? No one's paying attention.
I mean, I am. Not that I'm anybody, but...
Who are you? I'm just kidding. But, you know, people who are important, don't care.
This is what happens. This is what happens when music sales are low and people, I guess, just need to be seen in another way. I just don't get how this, I guess, helps his brand. I usually think reality shows... hurts people. Yeah. Unless you were... No, actually, no. I think it hurts people. Look at Stevie J. I think it can hurt your brand. Yeah. So.
And he apparently was doing something, like, right? Wasn't he like a music producer? Isn't he a music producer?
Trey Songz?
No, Stevie J.
Yeah, he was in the 90s. Like, a pretty like well-known, like, Jodeci. He has a Mariah Carey. He has a good... Mm-hmm. A good track record. Mm-hmm. Well, he had one, but... Yeah.
And then he got involved in, like, what, the Mimi and Jocelyn and all the other... Yeah, I mean, I don't...
I think it's just to stay relevant, and I think you can end up tarnishing your...
Yeah.
Work, tarnishing your reputation.
I always wonder when...
Not that he had... I mean, let's go back to who we're talking about. Not that he had this big resume and Grammys and stuff. Not that he had all this stuff to be tarnished, but I just don't think it helps. I don't know. I don't think it's that helpful.
That's what I was going to say. You know, you have to think about what demographic they're targeting.
Yeah.
And, you know, for people, like, a lot of people, you know, who are not, like... interested in that type of lifestyle,
right.
It just kind of comes across as desperate.
That's,
to me, at least to me,
yeah.
It comes across as like really, really desperate for attention. And that makes me want to pay attention to you even less than the non-attention I'm giving you in the first place. But yeah, so it's just...
I have to ask you about these reaches because I know you don't care. Not that I know you don't care. I know you didn't even know this was a thing.
At all.
So.
At all. Okay, so.
Well, I also saw this girl. No, I don't want to call her a girl. She's a woman. She wrote like an open letter to Beyonce. You know, she posted her pregnancy pictures, which were absolutely beautiful, by the way.
They were.
So
stunning.
She posted her pregnancy pictures and was showing all her joy and. The soon-to-be expansion of her beautiful family.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl, she's of African descent. And That's why I clicked on it. I don't know if that was the clickbait for me, mm-hmm. but I was like, oh, my parents are from African descent. Maybe she's going to say something I can relate to. Right. She goes further to say in the letter that Beyonce posting these pregnancy pictures can be triggering mm-hmm. for a lot of women. So I'm like, is this triggering? Does she have a point or is this trash? Because she says that in African culture, which I thought she was kind of generalizing, that a lot of women don't tell people that they're pregnant or won't post pregnancy pictures because of fear of miscarriage.
Right. Which that's the, you remember that, that special she did with Oprah?
Yeah, but I was thinking, I was like, but Beyonce miscarried before. Yeah. So I don't understand
who or
where
what,
she's coming from. And she said that she should, I guess, be mindful mm-hmm. of those things. And then I thought about it and I was like, does she have a point or is she kind of doing too much? Because couldn't you say that about anyone who posted pregnancy pictures?
Exactly.
Beyonce's not the first woman to post her pregnancy pictures. And I just thought,
I'm going to just interject right here. Everybody can have an opinion about anything. And in the age of the internet, everyone does have an opinion about everything. I mean, if you just scroll through Beyonce's comments and mentions right now, I mean, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. You got people wishing her well. You got people wishing her not so well.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You got people who are offended by her posting. You got people who are supporting her. Just the entire spectrum.
Right.
So, like, ma'am, I'm going to go ahead and ask you to have a seat. Okay. Open letters, I mean, for who? Who is it an open? It's not, certainly not to Beyonce.
Because she's not going to read it.
She's not going to read it. She's not
I just thought, because, you know, we saw a lot of people posting things like, well, did Beyonce tell you congrats?
Yeah.
Shut your dumb ass, simple ass up. We know she didn't say congratulations to us. Damn, your team wins,
send you a check, my guy?
Look.
Did they send you a check?
That reasoning to me just blows my mind because it makes no sense. You literally just want to steal the joy out of everything.
Exactly. I call them the happy police.
Yep.
And I went around on Facebook. And commented on people who posted stuff like that. Oh, you're the happy police now? Because why are you upset about me being happy for someone else?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I don't know where, but neither do you.
Neither do you. So why does it matter?
How does it affect your day at all? Anyway.
Yeah, so I was like, is this really a trigger or is it trash? I think it's trash.
You think it's trash? I think it's trash.
And then
but
she
I think
tried
anyone,
to,
anything that
is... On the internet? Because anyone can have a platform to say what they...
I mean, I'm here for the stink pieces sometimes. You know, I love a good...
I know. You'll send them right my way and I'm like, look, this is...
But you...
This is a shoulder.
You're reaching.
It's a shoulder dislocation.
Absolutely.
That's how much they're reaching.
Speaking of... shoulder dislocation. Okay. I got something that I want to bring up, you know, and I want to see how you feel. I know you probably care about this about as little as I care about Trey Songz.
Is this Keke Palmer bullshit?
No.
Is it?
It's not Keke Palmer.
Okay. I'm really tired of hearing about
this. So listen, my girls over at The Real, you know, The Real Daytime TV show, have been reaching.
Nigga, I know wigs. I know exactly where this is going
to
go.
To try to fill Tamar's spot, okay? I mean, like, let me tell you, let me just name a few, okay? Mm-hmm. So, you know, of course, they have Tamara, they got Jeannie Mai, they got Lonnie Love, and Adrian, right?
Right, right.
Who everyone brings their own flavor, and they had Tamar, but then they kicked her off for...
I low-key don't even feel like they need a fifth person to be...
I do. I think they're kind of bland.
No, I think Lonnie Love, if she's supposed to be the antagonist or whatever, or the...
She's not funny.
She's not. I agree.
She's not funny.
I agree. And her wigs just be
terrible most days.
Is hair and makeup just non-existent? Because Adrian looks good. Tamara looks good. But Lonnie, these wigs.
Why? So let me tell you. Okay. Over the past couple of months, they, you know, bring in co-hosts. And it feels like they're trying to
fill a spot.
Yeah, they're trying to settle on a person who can handle the spot, right?
But everyone they filled it in with has something to do. They have a job. Whereas the rest of the co-hosts, this is their job.
Yeah,
so I'm confused.
That's true. That's really true.
Okay.
They've had Angela Simmons. She did a stint there. You know, they do week-long stints.
Okay.
They had Angela Simmons. They had Eve.
Okay. I think I can see that.
Yeah. So.
Eve got a rich husband. She don't have time for that.
She does not have time at all. They've had, who else have they had? Evelyn Lozada.
Right.
Okay. Which was kind of awkward because, you know, she just is like.
Nah, I don't.
At least the girls there have talent. like some kind of talent. Look. She came up off of Basketball Wives in Miami, right? Am I right?
I don't know. I never followed Basketball Wives. Mm-hmm. I just know about her and mm-hmm. Ocho Cinco, and I know she's with a very wealthy man
He is very wealthy. He plays baseball. And then they've had this week is Remy Ma. And, okay. You know, that's our girl.
I love Remy.
Rem can't wait to
Remy
have you.
Remy will shoot you.
Yeah.
Remy will shoot. I love Remy. Listen. I've loved Remy since I was like 15.
Listen, okay, so you got a little more history than I do. I recently came into a love and appreciation mm-hmm. for my girl Rem, but I do appreciate how she is about her business. She doesn't play games and neither does Pat.
Oh, she's no fun.
At all. He is not here for it. He's like, listen, let me tell you something.
Okay.
This is what we're going to do now. Okay. I feel like they've been reaching for a while, mm-hmm. but now it's kind of getting out of control. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw, this was maybe like 2 weeks ago. They had Jocelyn as a co-host.
As in Jocelyn Hernandez?
Hernandez, honey. Yes. And it was the hottest of hot mess. Sis.
Why though?
Whoever idea it was.
Are they doing this for ratings? Are they doing this for...
I'm thinking they're just trying to fill the spot and trying to find a...
Well, Jocelyn doesn't have a job, so I guess she'd be somebody to fill the spot, but I just...
Oh, I feel like there would be other co-host relationship issues occurring.
Absolutely.
Tell you how Tamara sat there the entire week.
And uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable. Yeah, like, conflicted, uncomfortable.
I can see
like,
that.
Like, just, did you see where Jocelyn asked Tamara to have a threesome?
I did not.
And
no,
it was uncomfortable for me to watch. I'm sure it was uncomfortable for her too.
This has to be for ratings. There's no other reason why Jocelyn Hernandez is on the rail.
And you know, she doesn't know how to be anything but herself, which kudos to her for that.
Right.
But like, it just was awkward.
Right.
It was awkward and uncomfortable. You know, Lonnie seemed to be okay with it. But, you know, Adrian is like married to Israel Houghton now, the gospel singer. So she's like, Jesus.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I kind of heard she was married too. I kind of heard that.
Yeah, which good for her. Yeah. I'm happy. But so it was awkward. It was uncomfortable. The vibe was weird. The chemistry was weird. The content was all over the place.
I'm sure. I just think that I don't even think they need a fifth person. They already have a good-sized dodgeball team by themselves. There's too many people. No, because even when Tamar was there, I just kind of felt like they were always talking over each other. It was hard.
Yeah.
So the more people you have, mm-hmm. I didn't like it.
Yeah, I think when that whole thing happened, it kind of, like, shook out the people who were there for Tamar. Like, I was just there for Tamar and maybe Tamara. That's about it.
Tamar's edges need to be there for her.
Whoa.
Yes, I'm going to go. I do not like Tamar. You know that.
Back it up. You don't got to do her like that. She out here making her coins. Okay?
She's out
here making her coins. So, yeah, the real mm-hmm. is reaching, and I just want to put it out there. You heard it here on 22 Cents first.
Oh, God. Well, you know what? But honestly, who cares? But let's move right on. So our topic is social media and depression. And we want to talk about this issue because we think it's something a lot of young adults can relate to.
Absolutely.
Especially with, I don't know if you've noticed this, but there's kind of been this surge of young people posting their suicides on Facebook Live.
I've seen it a lot.
Yeah, and
I've not seen an actual suicide, mm-hmm. but I've seen the articles you know, that talk about it. And I don't know when that became a thing, but that needs to not be a thing.
You want to know what? I don't even think it's become a thing. I think that suicide and depression with young adults have always been steady. I just think we can see it more
mm-hmm.
now with all the interfaces and all the social media. It's more visible to us, mm-hmm. but I don't think that it's ever... I don't think it's on the rise now because of social media. I think it's kind of... We can see it a lot more, and it's just a lot more transparent.
And if you... Okay, so if you think about it, the generation that is... under us.
Mm-hmm.
So we're 90s kids.
Right.
The generation that is, you know, a few years younger and then on from us, is the first generation in...
They were brought up on the internet.
Yeah, the history of time where technology has been incorporated into their growth and development from the very beginning.
Right.
And how they express themselves is directly related to... you know, the access that they have to the internet and to social media, you know, Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook. It didn't happen if you didn't post it. You know, that's the mantra of their generation. Right. So I do think that it makes sense, you know, that this is a natural outlet for them, you know, to express those things. Unfortunately, it's in the form of suicide.
I agree with that. So, so a recent study was done in 2016 by the University of Pittsburgh, and they were linking social media and depression. And they're saying that the more times that adults spend on social media, the higher or more likely they are to be depressed. The findings, they're pretty much saying that doctors now need to start incorporating questions about social media.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I didn't even think about it that way. I was like, oh, this is a pretty
It's so prevalent. It's we use social media in almost every aspect of our lives.
And they want doctors to start asking questions about this. They also said that depression, this could lead to depression in high income countries by 2030.
Absolutely.
So the social media platforms that they asked their study participants about were Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Google Plus, which I did not know was a form of social media. I didn't even know that. Instagram.
You know they have the chat. They have the Google chat.
That's true.
I guess.
So Instagram, Snapchat, Reddit. I didn't know Reddit was a form of social media. Tumblr, Pinterest, Vine.
All of it.
And LinkedIn. And they used a questionnaire. They wanted to know how frequently these participants were on social media. And they saw that if you had, if you were checking social media throughout the week, you were 2.7 times more likely to have depression as opposed to those who spent less time on social media. But they also said that it's not a cause and effect. That they may, conversely, there could be a propensity for people who are already depressed to use social media more, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Let me tell you. Okay. So I was also looking at a study that basically compared negative experiences on Facebook and other social media platforms to the severity of depression. And so you just gave that, that fact. And so the study that I was looking at, was described in Psychology Today. So it's just like an article review. But they said that when compared to 24% of the participants that were participating in their study, who already reported having moderate to severe depression, those people were 3.2 times more likely to experience negative Facebook interaction.
Just from already having
So just from having that predisposition. So I think it's just interesting how this conversation of like the chicken and the egg kind of
which
comes
one came
about.
First?
Yeah. You know, are you depressed because of social media or, you know, are you on social media and are because
you're depressed?
You
know?
I think it's super interesting.
I think that they were using Facebook a lot in the study. And I'm just like, I don't think people use Facebook.
Oh, you're absolutely wrong. You're absolutely wrong. Everyone's on, there are 1.71 billion users on Facebook. Yeah.
But because when I go on Facebook, it's like my aunties, my mom that's on Facebook.
I'm a Facebooker.
Yeah, but you repost things. You're not really updating. I see you update your Instagram more so with pictures because a lot of the things they say or like, here that's causing the depression is this highly idealized representation of someone's life, right? And all my peers are doing that on Instagram.
I just got the highlight reel,
right? And I just got an Instagram, so y'all weren't really posting like the pictures in real time like they do on Instagram and on Snapchat, right? So maybe this is kind of like news to me because I just got an Instagram. I didn't have one before because I'm kind of lame.
I think people use social media differently and they use it
depending on what it is, they can use it
on
differently.
How they use it, you know, and now
I use Facebook for news.
And it's becoming okay, so don't shoot me, but Facebook is becoming more and more accurate. I find
you think so?
I think so. you know, it used to be like just sensational news pieces on Facebook. Now you can actually find, you know, of course, you should always fact check and you should always, you know, go back and do your own research. But I think it's becoming more and more relevant. Like it's become.
I think I could agree with that. I would say I don't see
Facebook. I said most all my news comes, like I'll find out about it on Facebook and then go look somewhere else to back it up.
I feel like I find out first on Facebook because that's the first place I log in. So I think if I actually look at the New York Times on my home screen, I would see the same thing there with an accompanied article. But that's the first place I log in. I guess it's just the quick bits that we're looking for. We want to quickly digest it. We want to know what's going on, see a comment too, and then move on to the next thing. You know, I don't think that reading articles per se are in style anymore. But I still like to read an article and kind of know what's going on.
And you know what else I want to ask you about? So what do you think about going back to what you were saying about the highlight reel? Mm-hmm. I think that has a lot to do with what we're talking about in terms of depression. You know, people will see like a quick snapshot, make a judgment, and then a lot of the times trolls don't think about what they're posting.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? And they don't look for context. They're not interested in finding out the backstory or what's actually going on. And then all of a sudden you've got this terribly negative comment or terribly negative, you know, whatever it is that you've posted on the internet for the other person to see. And they're not sitting there thinking, oh, this person doesn't know me. This person hasn't, has done all the research behind what was going on. And they're sitting there, you know, feeling some quote unquote, some type of way about what you've said. And you haven't, you don't even know what's going on. So do you think that contributes to?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a form of cyberbullying?
It is. It is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think it will affect you more if you spend too much time on social media.
Agreed.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, if that's what you do on your free time and you can't even eat your dinner because you're on social media, I think stuff like that will affect you more. I go through hiatus.
And that's exactly what Fran was talking about.
Oh, hey, friend zone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like people
on
don't.
The hamster wheel.
Girl, that's people do not put their phones down. Like when we went to, I just went to dinner, right? I'm not going to put anybody on blast. And everybody was so concerned with taking a picture of their meal. And my phone is always dead. Anybody who knows me, I stay on 7%.
Listen.
My phone is always dead. So, you know, I got all the time.
If you want to send gifts, send chargers, but send them to me so I can give them to her.
Don't shame me. Don't play me.
Because she's going to lose them.
Don't play me.
She's going to be frayed.
Anyone who knows me knows my phone is on 7% all day, every day.
She could charge it all night long.
And wake up and be on it, and then it will die. And I will leave it dead the whole day. So, you know, when I go with my friends, I really be out. Mm-hmm. Like, when we went to the club, when we went to, what's the name of that club we went to? The ghetto one.
The alley. The alley.
My phone died.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and I don't need to record me being out to the club to show people I'm having a good time.
Absolutely.
So, I think it really depends on how addicted you are to social media. And now, on the flip side, there are some people where they need social media to do their job.
Yeah.
So they're going to see those comments and it's going to affect them a little bit more.
Exactly.
But it really depends on what your allegiance is to social media.
And I really think that it's important, and it should be, in my opinion, it should be taught in schools.
Absolutely.
It should be taught in schools. Your value as a person
does not come from social media.
Your worth as a person is not going to be found on social media. And I understand that you love it and, you know, it's great. You can be connected to people all over the world. But you need to understand that who you are is about what you contribute to the world.
Yep.
It's about, you know, how you treat your friends, how you love your family, you know, what are you doing to make the world a better place? And none of that's connected to who you are on social media.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of things I see on social media. A lot of people post certain things on social media. Then I see them in real life and I'd be like, oh.
Yep, I know.
I'd be like, oh, okay. Yeah. It's all up front. You could be whoever you want to be. I think what's important is to find that balance.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good thing, but sometimes that balance is missing and we need to find a way to unplug.
Yeah.
If we can find a way, an hour or two a day, just to unplug and to be present.
I totally agree.
That'd be helpful.
I totally agree. And I think, like, I've started to put my phone down. I've started to let my phone die a little bit.
Oh, you know, I let...
You know, my phone, if you're notorious for having a dead phone, mine is on do not disturb. It's on do not disturb. And I get in trouble all the time because my phone is just, oh,
right.
You just
need a second sometimes. Yep. There's so much going on in the world. There's so much information constantly because you could do everything on your phone.
Yep.
Hell, you could do everything on a watch now.
You're
always connected. You're mm-hmm. always linked into something.
Yep.
So I think it's really important. And I want to say even the takeaway here is to find some time to unplug.
Absolutely.
What time during the day do you think you could just put your phone on do not disturb mm-hmm. and completely focus on what you're doing? Because I think that 30 years down the line, this stuff is really going to affect us.
Yeah.
And I do think our brains are even going to be rewired differently.
Listen,
because of it.
Listen, I think that... I you know when you just like forget what
yeah.
you're say.
I mean, I'm sure it's along the lines of
yeah. I mean, basically, I agree. I totally agree. If not 30 years down the line, now
yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
I think it's so interesting.
So I was thinking. So when I was reading this article,
mm-hmm.
I was thinking about Kehlani, mm-hmm. and this is pretty old. This is a pretty
yeah.
old. Subject, but I do remember, I'm not sure about the backstory too much, but she said on social media, why you roll your eyes?
Because.
Okay, just think about this. So Kehlani said on social media that she tried to kill herself, and then she posted the picture with the IV,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know, I think she was with Party Next Door. He like, I don't
yes.
know, he took the picture and he
so,
posted
let
it.
Me tell you what happened. Okay, so, you know, she was dating Kyrie Irving at the
right.
time. And they were supposed to be all bae and boo
mm-hmm.
and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know how she ended up in the bed with him. But Party Next Door is her ex-boyfriend.
Okay.
So he posted a picture of her hand. And, you know, she has all those really distinctive tattoos.
Right.
Of her hand.
In an IV, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's what I saw.
In the bed, he posted it. I think he posted it to, like, Twitter or Instagram or something
mm-hmm.
like that. So then, all of a sudden, the whole entire world knows that you are cheating on Kyrie.
But, okay, so it... He made it seem like she was going to hurt herself and he was there for her. I didn't get that from whatever that the caption was.
Listen.
Is that okay?
Because you know how little patience I have.
I know.
There are so many people who have actual illnesses, who actually need help. And yes, I do think that attention-seeking behavior.
Do you really think that was attention-seeking?
Excuse me?
Okay, but...
In your eyes, the world hates you, and so now you got to do something to play the victim. That's just the bottom line.
You know, I don't think...
But who am I but a podcaster?
I think that this was a case of cyberbullying. And I really do think that sometimes when you're in it... And remember, Kehlani, I don't want to say she's a star, but Kehlani...
that's a reach.
She has a career.
I really, really liked her music.
Yeah, so I really do think that she's also 21.
Mm-hmm.
When you're that young
yep.
and you are new to all this fame
mm-hmm.
and people are taking you there, I thought that was real. And I don't know if I can say that she was right or wrong for putting it on social media because we just talked about mm-hmm. how the generation behind us, granted, Kehlani's only 21. She's about 4 years younger than us.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not that different in age.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that is her outlet.
Listen, so she... I don't disagree with you
uh-huh.
in that regard. I don't want... I'm never going to say that her attempt at suicide wasn't real. I'm never
yeah.
going to say that. I'm never going to disagree that, you know, she didn't really need help.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, though, that she was very, very attention-seeking in that moment. Because, and I do
mm-hmm.
agree that people cyber-bullied her. I mean,
I
felt what they were feeling. I understood where they were coming from. I chose not to post, you know, anything about it or about her because number one, that's not my place. And number two, that is cyberbullying. And the only thing that's going to do is make the situation worse for her.
Right.
But I just think that we have to be honest
uh-huh.
and we have to call it what it is. You had in your words, attempted suicide,
right,
and then posted it on social media for everyone to know about it,
right,
and feel sad for you,
right,
that you cheated on your boyfriend.
Yeah, I mean, the legitimacy, we'll never know. We'll never know how, like, legitimate or how genuine it was. But I think that when someone mentions suicide and she's getting all these hateful comments, and then what Chris Brown said, I'm like, okay, like, maybe...
He was absolutely out of
line. Okay, but this nigga lives out of line.
Like...
He lives... We know he's out of line, so he doesn't count. But I just kind of feel like maybe... I found myself judging her, but then I thought about it and I was like, is there a right way to seek help? Is there a wrong way?
Yeah.
Who am I to say that she can't reach out to her fans or people she trusts? But I think because it's such a public platform, you have to, I guess, prepare for the support and for the hate. And a lot of people are not prepared for the hate, but if you're going to spend that much time online and put something so sensitive out, people are nasty. People are like, go kill yourself. People online are people online are professional trolls, and I think that we just need to think about certain things we post to see what kind of response. Because if it's open like that, you are liable to get any type of response.
That's the downside of
it. And no one can be held accountable for it.
Exactly.
It's
part of the anonymity of...
I agree.
...of being an online troll.
I agree. I know
you're not held responsible. But yes, let me finish it for you. I am not here.
I know. I know you're not here for...
I checked out. I was like,
we're going to have to change this to... Who are we not here for? And I know it's not... For you, it's not Kehlani.
It's not Kehlani. I know. I'm so sorry.
I know. So, yeah, I said my takeaway. I think that we need to unplug and force ourselves to unplug. I don't think there's an app that can make an app, another person, money. We're just going to have to find that inside of us to unplug.
Put your phone down in another room and walk away.
Yeah.
Leave it at home. I leave my phone at home sometimes.
No, that's real. That's real. Like, we need to really take some time to ourselves and... You know me, I'm very big on meditation and living in the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think my takeaway is understanding that your value system
isn't based on someone else's success.
Like what you believe about yourself, what is true about you is not going to be found on the internet.
See that, girl.
You have to take time, like you said. Pull away and go find out those things on your own.
Right.
Take yourself on some journeys.
And be fully engrossed in them.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you're on your phone or on social media and keeping up with what somebody else has going on, you're not fully engrossed in what you have going on. I found that too.
Spend time learning about yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then if you desire, take who you are, you know, once you understand more about yourself, and not to say that you can know everything about yourself, because that's not true. You'll spend a lifetime learning who you are.
Right.
But, you know, take the pieces that you do have and then, you know, present to social media.
I agree, sister girl. I agree.
Absolutely.
Well, I think we're wrapping up.
I think we're wrapping up our
first ever podcast. Now, I just want to say, first and foremost, thank you for listening to us. We want feedback. We want letters.
Please, please, please send us letters. We definitely want to engage with you guys.
Yes.
We want you to be our best friend.
Yeah, we want to hear what you think. And you can send your letters, questions, comments, concerns to 22centspodcast@gmail.com.
Absolutely. We're going to set up an ask.fm.
Yeah, soon, where you guys can ask us questions.
But for now, 22centspodcast@gmail.com. And I promise you, we will answer.
Oh, because we've got nothing but time.
Nothing. Because we kind of don't participate in school.
So clearly. So I want to talk about, I'm really big on black businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of every podcast, I'll be kind of shouting out a black business that I've utilized or one that I want to just, you know, showcase and give a little shine to. So there is a guy, his name is Graph Attic. That is Graph spelled regularly ATIK. And you can follow him on Instagram. It's just @GraphAttic. And he does a lot of dope hip hop paintings. I actually ordered my Sade painting from him. And he customized it too, because my room theme is purple and silver. So he made the background purple for me.
Awesome.
And it is so dope. I want you guys to check out his work and support him. He's based in Brooklyn. And if you are in a Brooklyn area, he usually has some shows. So definitely follow him and support him. We need to encourage our Black brothers and sisters that are doing stuff out here.
Absolutely. Okay. So I also have a shout out that I would like to do. Okay. So the name of the business is called Sensational Creation, and that's Send C-I-N-D, Sational, spelled regularly, Creation. That's again, C-I-N-D, Sational Creation.
Because I definitely typed
in
S.
Yeah, I did that for you.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely typing in S and it's not coming up. Okay.
And so this is a small business that is based in Georgia. And this lady, she creates homemade soaps that are, guys, I'm going to tell you, I've used about five different types of soaps. And they've all been amazing. They're super, super, super moisturizing. They smell delicious. They last a long time. She also has body butters. I think bath bombs are actually on the way. And then the good thing about this business is that the soaps rotate. So, like, not everything is going to be the same every time you come back. So you can always check back, get different types of soap. So just right now what she has on the website, Rustic Vibes, which I believe is for men, Tropical Paradise, Rose Love, Peppermint Swirl, Indian Timber.
That sounds dope.
Molten Black Pepper.
Where'd you hear about this
from? Through a friend.
Okay. You said she's based in Georgia?
Yeah, she's based out of Georgia. I'm going to go ahead and shout out the Activated Charcoal and French Green Clay Facial Bar, as well as the Oatmeal Honey Lavender. Go ahead and increase your net worth. Okay?
Not increase your net worth.
Because let me tell you about the smooth skin that you will have after you try. So if you
I found it. I was spelling it wrong for
the longest.
I found it.
Yeah. So if you want to go on Instagram, it's _sensationalcreation. So definitely check it out. Look on there. She's awesome.
This looks dope.
Yeah. I mean, amazing, amazing, amazing soaps. So yeah.
Thank you guys for listening.
Oh wait, I have a Black History thing.
Okay.
Because it's February.
Yes, it is Black History.
And in this 2017 year that we live, where Donald Trump is the president, I'm going to take every platform that I can to shout out.
Well, come on in.
To shout out Black History. Okay, so y'all bear with me. We are in graduate school. And we are on our way to medical school in the name of Jesus. So this one is going to be a little bit of a little story that I just want to tell you guys. Okay?
All right.
So I recently found this podcast. It's called Hidden Brain. And it is...
Is it a Black podcast?
I don't believe it's a Black podcast, but they have Black people on it.
Okay.
And so the episode that they posted for this week was about three Black women who were slaves. And basically their role in the development of the field of gynecology. So the doctor that they were talking about, his name was Dr. J. Marion Sims, right? And he is credited as being the father of modern gynecology. I mean, he has statues all over the country. Okay, that's kind of a reach. South Carolina, Alabama, and New York. So, you know, whatever. But he is highly regarded as a person who's very influential.
I feel like I've heard that name.
You probably have. And so he developed several different kinds of surgical procedures. I believe he invented the speculum, which, guys, if you're listening, I highly advise you not to Google speculum. I want you to just ask, like, a friend who was a woman. Yeah, just...
Friend who was a woman.
Or
they can't be, they just can't be a woman.
Okay, who is a woman. Or maybe who was a woman. Whatever you have in your life.
I guess both work.
Yeah, both work. Okay. Don't Google it, though.
So he invented that? Is that what you're
getting
at?
Yeah. Oh. It'll traumatize you. That's what I'm trying to tell them. So he invented all of that. So the trip up in the story is that, okay, this guy was alive in, like, the 1800s, right? So he treated... like female, not necessarily dignitaries, but like empresses and princesses.
Right.
And
like the elite.
Upper class, you know, at the time it was only white women who were upper class. So upper class white women.
Right.
And also he treated slaves.
Okay.
So what would happen was the slave owners would bring their female patient or their, you know, their females to him as patients. And they would do that because as a woman who was a slave, your value came in how hard you worked and how long you worked and how quickly you reproduced more slaves. Right.
Yeah.
And so if there was any kind of GYN issue going on that prevented you from having more babies, they needed to get that because this man probably paid a lot of money.
I feel like
you.
I know where this is going and so, I'm uncomfortable.
I'm you should be uncomfortable because I was extremely uncomfortable and I am going to try not to turn up on y'all. Okay.
Okay.
So this guy, you know, I told you he developed the different, you know, surgical procedures or whatever. Mm-hmm. One of them being vaginal fistula repairs. And so if you've never heard of a vaginal fistula, let me just break it down for you, okay? So during particularly painful childbirths, you know, you can have tearing of the space between the vagina and the rectum or the vagina and the bladder.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't have it repaired, it's going to fibroid, you know. I don't know if fibroid is the word, but it'll scar and you won't be able to have babies anymore.
Oh.
Because, like, you're literally shredding that tissue.
Right.
So he decided, I'm going to be Dr. J. Marion Sims, and I'm going to figure out a surgical procedure to correct it. And so the procedure was, of course, sutures, you know? And so, but of course, it being a thing that didn't exist yet, he had to practice. Get all the kinks out.
So he practiced on slaves.
So he practiced on his slave patients. He did not offer them anesthesia.
You see.
Okay, come on in.
I knew where this was. I just can't even.
There have been reports to where he had the nurses and the other male doctors who were trying to learn the procedures. Held them down.
Bria, let's wrap this up. Okay. I can't.
Okay.
It's just so barbaric.
It's actually terrible. And the other thing, of course, they didn't consent, you know, because, whatever. But then he didn't perfect the procedure until, I think they said, like, 1849. He started this in 1845. So this is, like, a span of, what, 4 years? Where he's doing all of this.
Practicing.
And then got the nerve. Got his, I was going to say big black nerve, but that's not it. he found.
Wait, is this a black history? Is this surgeon black?
No.
Okay. All right. This is like, wait, why are we highlighting this?
I'm going to get to the facts.
Okay.
Okay. So he moved to New York.
Uh-huh.
And proceeded to do the procedure or whatever.
Okay.
On the upper class. Using anesthesia, making it all wonderful, you know, about how it goes. And so the podcast was really, 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 it told the story, which was kind of gruesome. But then the way they came around to the end was they offered a memorial to these women. And there were a lot of women who had to endure it, but there were three, I think their names are like Anarcha, Betsy, and Lucy, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And so the doctor who was talking about it, you know, I think the interviewer asked, you know, so how would you pay your respects to these women, you know, who basically paved the way for the field of gynecology today? Because it wasn't him. I mean, he had a little to do with it, but, you know, I believe that the respect and the honor should go.
That's actually really powerful because I was not sure where this was going. I was not sure where this was going.
So
really
let me tell you what he said. Mm-hmm. He said he gave this, like, this long, you know, memorial. Well, she gave a long, you know, memorial to them. And she said, you know, something like, we will love you forever.
Mm.
Thank you, the mothers of the field of gynecology.
I like that.
So I think that is awesome.
And it's a start.
It's a start.
It's a start.
It's
you
a
know, because like slaves were used as guinea pigs and like nameless and just kind of like, yeah, well, we operated on slaves. And
exactly. And everyone always wants to point out like the positive, you know, yay, Black History facts. But it's important to remember.
Right.
It's important to remember how,
absolutely,
you know, where we came from, what we endured, because I will be darned if we go back.
That's real. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's just a cool little story that I heard that I wanted to share.
I like that.
So thank you guys so much for
We hope you enjoy the first episode.
Yes.
We hope you enjoy.
Give us feedback, please.
Yep. Feedback is welcome. And get ready for episode 2.
22 Cents Podcast.
We out.
@gmail.com.